Pints and Pies Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Pies Podcast. Tights and Pies.
Yeah, come on, this kind of sounds like Jericho's music, but it isn't. And here's when he, this is when he was Lionheart, but then here is when he had the list. It's sort of his music. That's a Double or Nothing reference for those of you who watch it, like I did.
Guys, we got it. We got Hal to watch something non-WWE.
All right, let's not make a big deal out of it.
Oh, no, I'm making a big deal. I wish Lindsay was here. We would shower you in gifts and flowers.
Oh, well, then I'll save all my opinions for it for when she's back, because I don't see any gifts. Well, there's no shower in here.
The whole effing show, we literally have to do it. So thumbs.
All right, fine. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm hashtag Hal Elite Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. Danielle Radford, you have no nickname.
I don't need one. No. I've retired all nicknames. If Dean Ambrose could go by John Moxley, I'm just going to be Danielle Radford for this episode.
I love it. I caught you sleeping, Julian.
Well, Danielle, just to make sure, because it won't work next week, Danielle was going to be y'all in Danielle Radford.
Oh, there you go.
That is very good.
There you go. Doesn't count.
It's going to be y'all out one day.
That's right. In August, you'll be y'all out. And our special guest, that voice you just heard, is a comic book creator whose latest release is Cannabis, the Illegalization of Weed in America. It's Box Best News Brown.
Welcome. Hey.
How you doing, Box?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Now, we've had you on the show in other interviews in the past. Before we get started, just give us a little bit of background on your wrestling fandom. Let's get into it.
Excuse me. The first pay-per-view I watched was WrestleMania 6 when I was 10 or 11 or something like that. And I've been a fan ever since. I've made a comic about the life of Andre the Giant. Came out in 2015. I follow wrestling very closely.
And another fun fact is you live in the greatest city in the entire world.
You live in Seattle?
I wish.
Suck it!
His contract's not up with Philadelphia yet. There you go. No, don't worry. He can enjoy nonstop rain in no time. And all the steps. There are a lot of steps in Seattle.
Look, it's like San Francisco, but with rain and more trees. And also, no, you know what? Never mind, because I'm going to start getting into stuff that will make all of you want to move to Seattle, and there's no room.
Seattle's closed. Sorry, everybody.
There's no room.
You know what's open? The DMs of All Elite Wrestling. That didn't make sense.
What?
They have captured the attention of fans across the country with their first Saturday pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, live from Las Vegas. To kick it off, let's just talk in general. Here's the thing, and I would guess of the three of us that I have the least familiarity with the most of this roster.
Uh-huh.
That said, I enjoyed it. I would like to see a weekly show. I would definitely watch a weekly show to see how it develops. But man, you gotta work on those video packages. Stop it. Some of the video packages are good, and then the one for the Young Bucks versus the people that they wrestled, who I can't remember. It's written down. I'll say it later. I'm not going to remember a lot of names off the top of my head. Half of it was produced video, and half of it looked like somebody... Stop it. That half of it also looked like it was a home video, and the audio was terrible, and I did not, like, especially when that's, like, the thrust of they're making the match, that drove me bananas. And if you know you are setting up something for later on, you can figure out a way to maybe get some better sound.
And, of course, again, remember, like, this is what they're doing now. They have a TV show coming. They're going to have TV show money to pay someone to make these things look better than they are. And I still think that being the elite is going to be like maybe their project where it's going to look a little rougher because that's part of the charm of it. But once they get to TV and they have people handling this stuff, it's going to be just fine.
I think it can look rough. I don't accept that excuse. This is your first big pay-per-view. This is your first big splash as a promotion. You can do better production-wise. That said, the actual production of the show, I thought was really good. I thought it was lit really well, which is a problem with non-WWE. But like, it's obvious, you know, where they've borrowed from. They've taken what they think works from WWE production-wise and added their own spin on it. Yeah, I like the little things that they've done to separate themselves as a promotion. Box, what did you think?
I thought the package with Jericho and Omega was good.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me hope for, like, building up a feud in a different way than we see in WWE. It was more like sports oriented, like something that you'd see like before a big fight or before the Super Bowl or something like that. You'd see like, I mean, some of the stuff, like the way Kenny was training and it was like, you know, Rocky IV or something like that. Yes. Like, but that was cool though, in a way, like the way they presented that, I thought was interesting. Did you guys think the ring looked enormous?
It was. It was elevated, okay. Actually, a little bit higher than is the norm.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah, they confirmed it before the thing. I'm not sure why. Maybe they, because if anybody went to that Long Beach show, they know that like it was not as sloped as like say the Staples Center mm-hmm. would be. So it was actually a little harder for them to see at that show. So maybe they felt like if we raise it up a little bit more, people will be able to see.
It's mm-hmm. not like anyone mm-hmm. in that ring is not like used to coming off of high heights, so.
Sure.
It's just nice to be able to talk about something and be able to nitpick it, because there's not a whole lot that I hated.
Yeah.
There is something to that.
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, I watched some ROH, not as much as I would like. I have watched some Impact. The Knockouts division is amazing. Go Kill Kim. I like, you know, New Japan and all of these things, but I understand why there is a barrier for people to be able to get into those, because so many of those have so much history. And if you're already keeping up with the history of WWE and all of their shows, it can be a little difficult. This is the first time in a while that I've really been excited to come in here and talk about wrestling.
Yeah, it feels like something fresh and new. I'm excited to have something different out there that feels like they're aspiring to be not WWE. They just don't have the money.
Yeah.
Nobody has the money to be mm-hmm. WWE.
Yeah. Nobody.
It's impossible, but they
can
could
build up to it, but
they could give them a run for their money creatively and with a national, with a syndicated or cable TV outlet. They've got a shot and they have mm-hmm. the roster to do it.
I don't think that they need or want to be WWE.
I agree.
Really, or WWE. I'm sorry.
Right.
God, I can't believe I'm still making that that thing in 2019. WWE went all in basically on the demographics of kids between the age of like 5 and 12 and their parents, and they kind of have been ignoring for a really long time the demographic of like 18 to 35, which is like an enormous demo. And AEW is something that appeals to adult wrestling fans from the age of 18 to 35, of which there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all of WWE's market. That's actually a small part of WWE's market, but it's a large group of people that they can cater to. And I think they know that audience really well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's one of those things, and it can happen sometimes when people try to shift their focus to bring up a new market, is they forget about their other markets, and they can sometimes start to neglect those. And mm-hmm. what I don't want is the idea that, which AEW is not doing, the idea that catering to that market necessarily means, you know, it doesn't mean boobs. It doesn't necessarily mean more blood. It just means storytelling that speaks to people on a more adult level. You know, I am happy that there has been more of a shift to bring in women audiences, or at least just like not alienate us. I don't even necessarily, it's nice to be pandered to, but like just treat us like we're equal and don't alienate us and we're like totally fine. They're not going to be WWE, and I don't think that they're trying to be WWE, but they are competition for the attention of people, not necessarily uh-huh. for like money.
You might not be trying to be WWE, but when the head of your promotion comes out and grabs a sledgehammer
yeah.
and smashes a throne
that's
with Triple H's logo on it,
my favorite
you
want
to be in that conversation, and you are declaring to everybody, you should consider us to be the company that is either better than or will take down or will subvert WWE.
And
so
I think it's
if you're not
yeah.
trying to
process.
Be them at all, then take their name out of your mouth.
Well,
you don't need it.
to be fair, WWE has had their name in their mouth.
I'm not saying I'm against it. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm against it at all.
Their fans, though, have an animosity towards WWE.
Sure.
And they're capitalizing on that as well. Like, the fans are angry with WWE, man. You hear and see it every night on, like, every Monday night on Twitter is, like, nonstop complaining.
Yeah, and...
justifiable complaints.
And it sucks because, like, sometimes we wind up delving into nothing but complaining. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I had a moment where I just broke and I was like, next week we have to talk about something else because I can't spend the whole time being negative and talking about something bad anymore. Mm. It's, like, draining.
I see it, like... I was doing the dishes yesterday and thinking about the show and just thinking about how there's all these Vice series about wrestling and all these podcasts that are so popular. And
thank you.
It's like, and AEW is like coalescing all of these things all into one big thing. It's exciting. It reminds me of like when stuff started to get really hot in like the late 90s when I was like finishing high school. No one cared about wrestling, and by the time I got to college, everyone cared about wrestling. And I feel like that might happen. It's exciting.
AEW to me feels like in a movie where WWE is the old guy who's been running the business forever, and then the new kid comes in that's like, I know technology, I know how to use this, I know a million different ways to do it better. That's AEW, and in particular that shows they are so media savvy,
yes,
and so smart, mm-hmm, with the relationships they're building that is going to be a big advantage for them moving forward. They have what feels like an honest relationship with the media rather than we're going to throw whoever on your show. Mm-hmm. You know, we want you to just talk about how great we are. Instead, you have Cody talking about diversity and that importance and the lessons he's learning. Even being in an interracial marriage and
getting retweeted by AOC. AOC. What are we talking about? AOC is talking about wrestling, and they, mm-hmm, built it from, again, a poorly edited YouTube series.
Yes. Remember when Vince first made wrestling relevant in the mainstream, it was via like MTV and like this pop culture thing. I think the wrestling relationship with Vice, that is a way to get people in the room that weren't there before.
Yeah, 100%.
What did you guys think of the commentary?
I like JR. I like the other guy. I think we're a good team. The one guy felt like, now I'm forgetting the name of...
Excalibur?
No, not Excalibur. No, the guy who does...
That's one of the names.
No, one of the other guy sounded like Romanello Light. Like he was trying to hit those same notes and same pop culture, mm-hmm, references, mm, but still a good three-person team. There were definitely times where none of them had any of the information they needed promotionally.
Well, right. I think out of all of them, Excalibur is the one who is most, because like, you know, there's PWG and all, mm-hmm, that stuff. So I feel like he's the one who knows the most about everyone and,
yeah,
strengths and weaknesses. And again, going back to the way the card is, I think obviously they all know how people perform because they've performed with them before, but you never know necessarily how people are going to gel together on a card. And now that they're starting to sign more people, they'll get more of an idea of where to kind of put slots. Anyway, sorry.
Alex Marvez was the name of that guy.
Alex Marvez. Mm-hmm. Good three-person team.
Yeah.
I mean, I think these people will kind of like develop the personalities more in the weekly show. Like some of the best commentary that I can think of, you know, it's been because you recognize the commentary team as like what their characters are like. Like, mm-hmm, Bobby the Brain Heenan is the guy that's going to like say all the goofy lines and the other guy's going to take it super seriously and like, you know, it takes a while for that to happen. It's hard to do that in one or two shows even.
Yes. Let's get into some specifics. I want to start with a guy who I would love to watch on TV on a weekly basis, which is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Boy, boy, do I love guys who, first of all, the kid is, what, 23 years old?
Mm-hmm.
He's dynamite on a microphone. He looks good. He wrestles well. The stuff he shouts out in the ring... I mean, it's he would be, you know, you brought up personality and commentators. He's got, I'm sure, a very bright in-ring future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But he's the kind of guy who would be a Bobby the Brain Heenan on commentary. And he will say stuff that is not nice at all, like calling that one dude Lieutenant Dan as he's kicking him, putting the boots to him in the corner. Which is good heel heat.
His Twitter is amazing.
I must be.
It's really good. And he's really good on being the elite.
Yeah. oh my God, that guy. I'm like, who's this? Like immediately. And I didn't see the, I've seen like bits and pieces of the Battle Royale. It's the only part of the show I didn't watch.
It was fun. Glacier has ice breath now.
Oh yeah. Is that the guy? Okay.
That's like old school Glacier. Like that is Glacier.
Okay.
From WCW.
Great.
And now he has ice breath and it freezes people.
Oh, fantastic.
It's pretty fantastic.
And Ty Dillinger is now Sean Spear.
Sure.
Great.
He was great.
Love it. Yeah, I saw him come out after the belt presentation, bury Bret Hart, talking about somebody jumping him in the ring. Just like great little pieces of heat, like without even having to insult the audience.
Which sometimes I'm so over. I can, it's fun when it's good,
right.
But just like, oh, you guys suck. And that's something we'll also talk about more later, but it's so exhausting sometimes.
Yeah.
I like the idea of people being like, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me and whatever. But just that usual, like, oh, I hear Philadelphia sucks. It's like,
what the fuck are you talking about? It's awesome. Get out of here.
I was doing heel heat.
We won the Super Bowl last year. Don't anybody forget it. Still recent champions. More recent than the Cowboys. All their highlights are on VHS. Anyway, let's get into these matches and start with the six-person tag matches. We have SoCal Uncensored. That's Christopher Daniels, Scorpio Sky, and Frankie Kazarian versus Stronghearts. That's Seema, T-Hawk, and El Lindemann.
Holy crap, Seema. Oh, I mean, this whole match I loved. Seema was a big standout. I love SoCal Uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, like, we're veterans and we are going to take it to you. There's nothing for me to hate about that match.
No, I thought it was good, too. I think that those guys are just great in opening matches. I've seen them in, like, a million opening matches at different events, and they just, like, get the crowd right into the match right away.
Yeah, really enjoyable match. I liked all the people in it.
I mean, it's so hard when it's hard when A, it's really good, and then also, like...
Well, like, I know who Christopher Daniels is, I know Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, you're going to learn who all these people are.
I will learn.
I am here for this journey.
I'll learn. It was good. It's hard, you know.
Every time we do one of these, Julian, should we add like a small Danielle and Lindsay explain indie wrestling like we used to do for Lucha Underground?
But I think like those, like Hal, you are the type of person that they need to reach in general.
I agree.
Like, if this is the extent of what your experience is, like this is what they can't like besmirch that. And they can't like, I mean, even NXT and NXT UK have to do this as well, where they don't have a ton of like build up to people just sort of showing up and you're kind of like meant to, okay, here we go. We're on it. Like I had no fucking idea who Walter was when he first showed up in NXT UK.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you just kind of go along with the journey and hope that they hook you enough that you're going to stick with it.
Yeah. So, and luckily this was a great show for first time fans. But again, these are what I hate that I keep having to say this. A lot of these things are going to get smoothed out once we get to the TV show.
Right. But
this is totally like proto AEW at this point. I feel like once, it's going to change so dramatically once there's a weekly show.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that like some of that weighs heavily again on the commentary team to like,
I agree,
explain who everybody is, like, and at least give you like a 2 second sense of their character. Like,
yes,
this guy's wild. He's from whatever. Jim Ross would probably be like, he played football and whatever, some college or whatever. Or something, you know what I mean?
So. And I think that's what Excalibur's job is. But if it didn't come across to people, it didn't come across to people, you know?
Yeah.
I think it did, though. I do think they did a good job of of bringing all that together. That's part of what makes me want to watch more. Like, okay. And the little bit of the Battle Royal I watched did that as well. It was like a little bit, everybody gets a moment. It wasn't, didn't feel like a big mess. Bringing them in five at a time was smart so that they each got a few moments so that you got to see, okay, this is who the character is. Here's an amuse-bouche of that character. You'll see more later.
This is my second time hearing amuse-bouche today because I listened to the...
Yeah, me too. That's why I said it.
That's cute.
Rip off the best. Let's talk about the six-woman Joshi tag match, which was won by Hikaru Shida, Riho Abe, and Ryo Mizunami. And there was a little bit of a botch. with the bell.
Man, I let so much of these things go. I don't even remember them.
It's live.
Yeah.
It's live.
Yeah.
Make mistakes.
Maybe it's just because they have so much goodwill for me. But although I do feel like with WWE, I tend to let a lot of those go too because it is live.
It was good refereeing, though.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think of the reffing?
I mean, the bell rang and she was like, no, not. It was a two count. Like, she like took charge. I thought that was like stuff like that happens. It's good to see the ref maintaining order for a moment in the ring.
Yeah, also, I like that they're going back to that thing of, like, the refs have a personality now. They're not just, like, random dudes in the ring. We know them. They talk about them. You don't realize. It's like when you're sick, and then you're not sick anymore, and you don't realize how bad you felt until you felt better.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where I didn't realize how little they're doing that now.
Right.
And how much I know about the refs because I follow them on Twitter. And how much I missed it.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about those little differences that help set them apart. For me, the best ref moment was in the main event when the ref got out of the way where you would normally have a bump spot.
Yeah.
That's normally where the ref would get bumped, but that ref was like, oh, somebody's about to run into me. I should move out of the way.
Because they're not stupid.
Exactly.
They're not the Three Stooges.
You want your characters to do, unless they are acting in the heat of passion, to do what would be the smartest possible thing. Like in life, you try to do the smartest thing possible. Sometimes you make bad decisions, but we don't all walk around going, hey, that's the dumbest thing I could do. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that would be like if you are a professional pace car driver that just keeps running into walls.
Yeah.
Actually, this match, the Joshi match, highlighted a rule change that they have, which is a 10 count for all members of the team can be in the ring for 10 seconds. Before they're breaking any rules, which allows for a little bit more breathing space for the tag matches. When they introduced it, I was like, I wonder how that's going to affect the flow. Because will it slow down the match?
Right.
Because those breaks until the story really moves forward or the match moves forward are going to be held up 10 seconds at a time. But I didn't notice that at all. It actually helped, I think.
And it could be a great way to gamify that too. What did you think, Box?
I think that that usually they just give those guys 10 seconds anyway. So I think it's cool that they codified it and no, we'll give them enough time to do the double team move and make it not look like we're not even bothering to count at all.
Yeah, if it's already a production rule, why not just make it a rule?
Yeah.
Smart. AEW's first women's match featured Britt Baker beating Nyla Rose, Kylie Rae, and surprise entrant and friend of Tights and Fights, Awesome Kong.
I slid in those DMs so fast after I saw that. I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. This was so amazing.
And did you get a response?
Yeah, because she's great.
Amazing. And when are you guys having lunch?
Soon, actually.
Great.
I'm just such a mark. I love her so much. And the fact that she would even answer me back when I was like, hey, like, you know, you did great, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. And I was like, that's all I need. I don't need anything else.
I popped for Awesome Kong. And I thought that, the match was great. I was, stoked for the ladies' match. I think they did a good job of, highlighting a bunch of different characters. And setting up the whole, because they had to set up the whole division in a few matches a little bit. So I think they did a good job of that.
Ooh, Nyla Rose. Oh, my God. Talk about a star. All of them are stars. But I feel like whereas, you know, people know of Britt Baker. Unfortunately, some people know of her because of her significant other. And I hate that. But I do like that people know that she's a dentist. So that's pretty cool. I feel like a lot of people know of Kylie Rae. Obviously, people know about Awesome Kong. I feel like the only thing that people knew about Nyla before this match is that she's trans. So I'm glad that people got to see that, and she's fucking dope.
I looked up Britt Baker afterwards. I was like, is she really a dentist? And I was like, she's a practicing dentist? How cool would it be to...
I think that's just handy to have.
She's probably doing a filling right now while we're recording this.
Yeah, that's just a handy thing to have in your wrestling promotion. someone who can look at them teeth right after.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that was great. The line, too, was she can knock your teeth out and then put them back in for you.
God, the side pops.
Pretty great.
That's so good.
It's great. It's fantastic. Really, really fun match. Good way to sort of highlight that division, what it could be moving forward. What did everybody think about the tag team of Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta beating Angelico and Jack Evans?
First of all, they're called the best friends. Second of all, I love seeing Jack Evans on my TV. He is one of, and Angelico too, because Angelico's crazy. They're both amazing. Mm-hmm. I got introduced to them through the stuff that they've done in New Japan. Mostly I got introduced to them because they were like a big part of Lucha Underground, which as everyone knows, I love. Rest in peace, Lucha Underground. So I am always excited to see Jack Evans doing handstands on my TV. And I love the Best Friends. They're like, they're so cute.
I thought this was a better tag team match than the Young Bucks versus the...
That's okay. Look, hey, there were so many great matches on that like, it's okay if the Bosses didn't have the best one for you.
What do you think?
I thought that they were both great. The Bucks do what the Bucks do, and I enjoy it, but I do think that sometimes in terms of just, you know, they are, and I don't mind it, you know, they're more than just super kicks, which is what a lot of people say. Mm-hmm. But a lot of their matches, for me at least, is really dependent on their personalities. And that's great. And that's just a different kind of thing. They are great athletes. They're really, really talented. But, you know, Jack Evans and Angelico are Jack Evans and Angelico. What you going to do about it?
What did you think, Box?
I'm a big Chuck Taylor fan. So, you know, I thought he'd put on a great match. I think Chuck Taylor might be from Philly, or he hangs around Philly a lot.
That's right. He's a real from here guy. Before we go to our break, let's talk about one of the headlining bouts, Cody taking out his brother, Dustin Rhodes.
He does live in Philly.
The artist formerly known as Goldust. Yeah. Well, bless him. Bless that child.
I wanted to do this before we got into the emotional stuff.
What a great match.
I cried so hard. I cried so hard. It was a great match. It was great to see that Dustin can still move like that, because Lord knows it's been a while since we've seen him do that.
Yeah.
The blood was jarring, but it's always just kind of jarring for me.
I like could have used a little bit less blood, honestly. Like,
I think that was an accident. I don't think that it was meant to.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It was cool. I mean, like, that was the best match, like, so much emotional. There's so much emotion involved, and just I love that move Dustin does, where he does a sunset flip kind of, and like bounces off the other dude and like, I don't know, like flips him in the air, and then ends in like a power bomb. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That move is sick. And then like also like, I like seeing Dustin like doing like new moves and like changing. I thought Jericho did this to make yourself different than what your persona was in WWE in some way. Dustin had all new colors. I don't know about the half face thing. I think you should just go all the way with it, or not at all. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I also think the makeup might have made the blood even more redness everywhere.
Probably.
Yeah.
The sweating.
Hard to tell what was what.
Yeah.
And at the end, Cody's just pink.
No, but that's the great thing about the dyed blonde hair. Like, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is to have like that bloody thing. So I like that. I like all of that. And the ending where they were like, now we gotta be a tag team. I was like, great.
Ooh, I think we have a clip of that.
I'm all in.
Here's how that match ended.
And I'm gonna cry again.
Before AEW was a thing, before we filled this place up, it was me, it was Kenny, it was Matt, it was Nick, it was Tony. And I put my name on a piece of paper for our show next month in Jacksonville for Fight for the Fallen. You know what the match that I put my name down on? It was myself and a partner of my choosing. But Dustin, I don't need a partner. I don't need a friend. I need my older brother.
And then I died, and it was great. It's when his, because Dustin was already like starting to break again when he was up on the ropes.
Yeah.
When Cody's voice broke on brother, my body, I broke too. It's one of those, I've talked about it with a bunch of other people who've watched it. It was great that there were so many different styles of wrestling that were showcased. And this was just one of those emotional Southern matches. And you got everything that you needed to get. I'm so curious about whether, because WWE, I'm pretty sure, released, you know, Goldust left the way that he left with the idea that he would do this one last retirement match and be done. So that's interesting to me, but I guess that's got nothing to do with anything. But
sometimes your contract ends and you can just start working somewhere else.
You can do whatever you want.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that and a couple more matches when we come back after this break. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Hey, James.
Hey, Neke. What we doing, girl?
We are inviting the awesome listeners of Maximum Fun to join us at Minority Corner.
Ooh, fun.
But you know how we go on Tangent City.
We're the joint mayors.
We're not going to do that, okay?
Soup's focus.
Okay, so Minority Corner is where you can all come and get your pop culture take.
Plus, social commentary, news, and TV movie reactions like Avengers Endgame.
No spoilers here.
Ooh, snap.
Sometimes we dig into the vaults and we review and recap those movies you missed.
Gonna do Halle Berry's Kidnapped.
I love how she always gets 1,000%.
Like Beyonce.
Did you see Homecoming on Netflix?
She was burning it down like the Mother of Dragons.
Have you seen the latest Game of Thrones?
So good. Only thing missing?
More black people.
What do you think about Mayor Pete?
Wait a minute, James!
We went on a tangent.
Yes.
Ah well, join us every Friday for more tangents.
On Maximum Fun.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Fox Brown.
All right, let's get to one part of the Elite, aka AEW's namesake, the Young Bucks. They had their first match with their promotion against the Lucha Brothers. See, I remembered their name. Successfully defending their AAA World Tag Team Championships. Great.
Yeah, it was a great match. It's the Bucks. Loved it.
I would like to see more. I need more competition for the Young Bucks, I guess, if they're going to have this hot tag team division.
And we got to see some of that here, but I'm always in favor of more tag teams. And, you know, there are always people who will wrestle. I'm sure that people that will wrestle with them that aren't necessarily like signed to them with contracts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What about the guy with the chair made of people? That tag team, they could wrestle together.
That's true.
It was him and more muscular Gilbert.
I just like listening to you describe
the two guys.
That was also a problem on the commentary, because when it happened, they were like, "Oh, who is that? Oh my gosh, I know who it is, but I don't really know if I want to say." I'm like, "Don't do that. I don't know who that is either."
It's Chairman. Travels around with a bunch of people that act as his furniture. My lord, people, I've seen him become bunk beds. It's unbelievable. You're not going to see much athleticism better than that.
If their team name isn't This End Up, then I don't know what the hell any of us are doing here. Finally, Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega 2. Wrestling for the right to face Hangman Page for the to become the inaugural AEW champion.
Okay.
Great match.
I wish there was more nitpicky stuff to say. I'm so used to having jokes and stuff. No, it's great. You know what? We get to do the positive and then we get to crack our jokes later because they're coming.
Yeah, a few.
Oh, they're coming.
I have to leave pretty soon. For goodness sakes.
I liked how they had a clean finish. Mm-hmm. Beats him with the, you know, the whatever his finisher is called.
Judas elbow or something.
The Judas Priest punch.
Yeah.
Or the Judas Priest elbow.
Yeah.
No, but I thought that was great. Like, I thought that was like, yes, no kicking out, sell the finisher.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to see, I mean, I think they're positioning Hangman Page to be their star, you know, and I think he's a good choice because, you know, the big fault with WCW and everybody else was their ability to create new stars of their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like Goldberg and basically Diamond Dallas Page, maybe you could say Booker, you know, a handful of guys.
Right.
And I think to center the promotion around Hangman Page instead of Kenny Omega or Jericho or the Young Bucks, like, is to help create their own identity, a new star. So I think you're going to see a lot more of Hangman Page as this goes on. But this match, I thought it was great. I mean, Jericho at the end, when Moxley came out and they were doing those facials, Jericho's like, what are you doing here?
That moment was so great.
Yeah. So good.
It was fantastic. Here's a clip of that moment, by the way.
I don't think he's here to say thanks. John Moxley has deployed on this squared circle at the MGM Grand Ole Arena.
Revered football player for for Pacoima High School.
I remember he was a tailback in Vegas in Cincinnati.
Reportedly, and I don't know how true this is, JR had no idea that he was going to come out.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll see.
Keep it a surprise.
When I saw that report, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. good job punking JR. Do you want a cookie?
do you think that he wouldn't
have been able to act surprised otherwise? Like the
dude, I mean, that's literally his whole deal.
The dude's been hollering into mics for 40 plus years. I think he knows how to pretend to be surprised.
Yeah.
If I was working an event like that, I would want to be surprised because it just makes your job easier. So if they went to the extent to do that, I would be like, great.
I don't know. I just worry that Enzo now is going to be like, oh, they don't tell JR things and he'll just start talking about your name if you bust through the crowd.
Yeah. I already got my tickets for the next show.
I know Vince isn't in his ear anymore, but they got to have somebody in producing the show, right?
Yeah, they've got a whole gorilla position or, you know, dusty position or whatever they're going to call it now.
Yeah.
How well do you think AEW has set themselves up as they prepare a number of pay-per-views before they go live on TNT later this year?
Well, obviously that was huge, and having Jon Moxley come over is obviously a big part, and that's going to get a huge ton of crossover audiences with new Slash Fix to write.
Yeah. Box, how locked in are you to watch everything else they do leading up to the show and the show? Is it like can't miss for you?
Oh, yeah.
Or check it out if you
can. Ready. I'm ready. I want to watch Fyter Fest.
Yes.
I think it's great Moxley coming in. I would hate to see it just become like this nonstop train of talent.
That's not going to happen. They've been very clear about the fact that, hey, this is not a refugee home just because you don't like WWE. Yeah, they're not even talking about like bringing more people over right now. They were just literally saying on those rosters right now, there are only about eight or nine of them that we would sign.
Do you want to tell me right now that if The Undertaker called them, was like, hey, I'm available for one
night.
He's
not on the roster.
You don't think they would put
him? He doesn't count.
Yes, he does.
He's on the roster.
He's on the roster forever.
You know, though, that would say something, though, if The Undertaker called them up and was like, hey, I'm in for this one show.
Honestly, I don't know if they would, because I mean, they might have him come out and do something like they did with Brett and that gorgeous new belt.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would. It seems very much in every interview like they're really not interested in doing those kind of attraction matches with people who can't move and who can't do it. If he could do it, then maybe.
They could load him up on the show. Like there was no like Bret Hart. Introducing the belt.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's a great
because it's Bret Hart He has nothing to do with AEW.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
No connection to that.
They would have him do something like that, but they wouldn't put him in a match.
Well, guys, what they're gonna do is have Undertaker officially knight a new Undertaker. He's gonna be younger, and he's gonna have a slightly shorter cloak that just grows every single year that he's in the business.
Maxwell younger Jacob Taker.
Yeah, the younger.
The younger Taker.
Oh God. Yeah. Let's shift to WWE very briefly to wrap this segment up. They had no matches on their show for the first 45 minutes.
Jesus.
That's a third of their damn show. No matches.
So instead of having a match, you have Brock come in and act like one of the background dancers from Breakin' 2? What the fuck?
I was about to say, if Brock doesn't bring out linoleum the next time he shows up with that briefcase with the speakers in it, what the fuck are any of us doing
here? At least cardboard, right?
He's the Boogaloo Shrimp of WWE, and I want to see him get down there. I want to see backspins. I want to see everything. I want to see to do the thing where the one leg swings around.
I definitely need to see the worm, right?
Got to see a worm. I want Poppin' Lock, Poppin' Brock.
Poppin' Brock.
Poppin' Brock. For God's sake, what is it? What does it say now? Brock Party?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do either of you care who he cashes in on?
No. I'm happy that they're injecting some personality into him. This ain't it though.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that it was a great little piece that he had no idea that you had a year to cash it in. That, like,
that's
continuing
funny.
That story that he doesn't watch the product, doesn't give a shit about WWE. Like, that was a nice little addition there. I like that.
What do you think, Box?
I didn't watch Raw.
Okay, that's fine. You could just listen to us make fun of it.
Fair
enough. It's
but
almost
I
done.
Did, yeah. I did see him, Brock Lesnar, dancing with the little, they made it into a little boombox.
And on anyone else, that would be great. I actually wouldn't mind that if it was, you know, if it was fucking, you know, if it was Prince Pretty, if it was any, you know, any of like the comedy guys, I wouldn't mind that.
I don't really like anything that's going on over there, to be honest.
I mean, that's fair.
By the way, if any of you are like, I bet after Double or Nothing that WWE is going to have a huge response, like they got to say something. And they did.
They
did. Via Sami Zayn. Here's a clip.
You guys really got to step it up. You could ask me anything. You're asking me about these dumb questions about the Universal title. I could win the Universal title anytime I want. I'm not that interested right now. I'd much rather hold all of you accountable for your crap. Quite frankly, you could ask me anything. You could have asked me about AEW. Hey, Sammy.
First of all, I don't know what that segment was. It was an electric chair. Was he going to get electrocuted if he didn't answer
a question?
What
does that have to do with anything?
What does that have to do with literally anything? No one's gimmick there is electric powers. No one's a cop. No one's a judge.
Well,
no one's an executioner. He was not there. He does not count.
He's always there. He's buried underneath the ring. When will you learn?
I don't understand what that segment or who that was for. But yeah, I did like that, and I thought that was funny. And of course, everyone's like, it's a work. It wasn't a work. It was a pipe bomb moment. They took it off of the YouTube,
it
which is like they take everything off of the YouTube, you guys. I firmly think that there's no way that Sammy said that without permission.
That's been the report that it's scripted.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, I also dream of Sammy trying to tank his career there and then waiting 90 days and then showing up somewhere. But guys, we're not going to get it.
If you've got any thoughts on all the things that we've discussed so far, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. So many places to hear from you. Talk to us at all of them. That is my decree. When we come back, it's time to share some things from wrestling that you should know about. That's up next on Dice and Vibe.
I listen to Reading Glasses because Bria and Mallory have great tips.
My suggestion for book festivals is just go for one day.
I listen for the author interviews.
I was a huge Goosebumps fan.
Oh, yes.
R.L. Stine was totally my jam.
I don't even read. I just like their chemistry together.
Literally, if on the back it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by...
Danielle Radford.
And...
Box Brown.
This week, we want to share some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This... is the three count.
Why is it spooky this week?
Sometimes wrestling is spooky and scary. The Undertaker is here right now. Oh, yes, Danielle. What would you like to put over? Oh, yes.
All right, so I'm putting over just like the spirit of brotherhood this
spirit
week.
Spirit of brotherhood,
stop,
yes.
Let me talk.
Spirit's everywhere.
I have to get through this because this is me being sincere.
Can I be sincere too? Me fight Undertaker, remember?
I'm not doing it now. I give up. No, so I wanted to put over just like the spirit of everybody supporting each other. Even a lot of people from the WWE, and if you want to see it all, you could look at Sasha Banks' likes. She's trying to get real fired. Everyone just wants what's best for wrestling. Mm-hmm. And whether that is that competition makes WWE good again, I think the people at AEW would be perfectly happy with that as long as they're still getting, like, they're still able to put on their shows. Because everyone is friends and everyone wants everyone to succeed. And man, I love that shit. Even some of the wrestlers online were saying, like, yeah, if you think think that anyone, any wrestler wants any company to fail and their friends to lose jobs, you don't understand why they call it a brotherhood. And I'm like, fuck yes. So that's what I'm putting over, especially go back and look at tweets during that time from a bunch of different timelines. Sami Zayn brought back El Generico for like one tweet and was like, something happened to my phone. I hope you all enjoy your pro wrestling. And then like the Bucks just kept like shouting him out on like their tweets, and like AEW was shouting him out. It was just really nice, man. Like, even if, you know, there's always the thing of, you know, like the club just literally said, I miss those boys. Of who's going to jump, who's not going to jump. But even people who aren't going anywhere were like, we just want wrestling to be good and we want our friends to be happy. And you guys know how much I pop for friendship, so.
Nice. Box?
One of the things I really liked about AEW, and I had a lot of fun watching, was like the post-show press conference and all the interviews on that. Just that type of stuff, which you see after every big sporting event and every big like fight, and they don't do it in WWE, is just like refreshing and cool.
Man, they were for a while a couple of years ago, and that was really interesting and cool, and it was a great way to push storylines forward. I missed that.
And like, you know, the interviews with Tony Khan and everybody, and the Young Bucks, like acting as brand ambassador and not just character on the show. And my friend Garrett Martin from Pace Magazine in the background and stuff like that. It was fun and cool.
Nice. If you know me, you know that I enjoy pro wrestling, but also Disney theme parks. And I'm very late to the Defunct Land party, which I got into. People have been sending me videos, but my wife and I watched the video about their video on their YouTube channel about Action Park. And then I was looking at their podcast, and who did they have on? But Zack Ryder to talk about being an annual pass holder. And I love how well he knows the parks, because he sounds like somewhat similar to me when I could afford an annual pass. Here's a clip of him on the Defunct Land podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts, including this one.
Zack, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, bro.
This is finally happening, I think, because you've been on Twitter for quite a while. The first time you tweeted at me about something Defunct Land, my feed just went nuts.
Good thing
Zach watches Defunct Land. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the YouTube series for sure.
Yeah, thank you. And so I saw you tweeting about it and I was like, oh my gosh. And so anytime there's like a blue check mark by someone's name, I'm like, all right, I'm reading this tweet. But then I saw who it was, because people were posting on my Reddit like, oh my gosh, my two worlds are colliding. You know, wrestling and extinct theme park rides,
right?
Which is nuts.
And that does it for this week. Box Brown, thank you so much for joining us. Where should people be following you? What should they be reading, doing?
I check out my book, Cannabis: The Illegalization of Weed in America, and follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Box Brown.
All right, that does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Box Brown and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. If you are a listener of Tights and Fights and you are in the Nashville area this weekend, being the 31st, 1st, and 2nd, I will be in Nashville, Tennessee at Pod X, which is a really cool podcasting convention. I'm there with Good Morning Night Vale. I'm going to be doing some stuff with Voyage to the Stars. It's going to be a really good time. You can still get tickets at podx.com, but come out. I would love to meet you. One area fan has already reached out, so I hope I run into him there.
Oh, that's nice.
Danielle?
As per usual, watch the Honest trailers, because if y'all keep watching them, they'll keep letting me help making them. And I have been able to stresslessly pay my rent. It has been very nice. Also, I'm doing more hosting now on the channel, so you will be seeing me doing more hosting of SJU and all of those other things. So yeah, watch Screen Junkies or Fandom. Go to the Fandom website, where I very often have articles. Do the things that make me money. I love you guys. Seriously, I couldn't do this stuff without y'all. Thank you all for your support, especially the Beehive, which is apparently like, anytime I talk about Beyonce, the Beehive finds me and they like it. It's very nice and odd.
Figured out the cheat code.
Yeah, but it's very nice. Like, it's very yes. Lovely, but it's just like, why are all of these Beyonce avatars telling me I'm pretty today?
Listen, Just take it. Take it and enjoy it. Run. Our producer is finally all elite in Super Smash Brothers, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. You can watch New Negroes clips. You can watch the show.
Yes,
it's
go
out there.
Go support Comedy New Negroes. It is so funny.
For goodness sake.
Him and Baron are so amazing. You get to hear more new Mike Eagle music because there's like a nice little music video in every one of them. Go support New Negroes at any place where New Negroes are sold.
That's right. And Lindsay is not here because she's at a book release party.
Yes, so she's got two books. She's got her children's book, Cinders and Sparks.
Yes.
Guys, I swear you think we're reading this off of paper. We just actually love Lindsay enough that we memorized everyone's
right.
stuff. We've also got I Heart Hawaii. If you can find her, go on to her Instagram or on to her Twitter because she is promoting all of the stops on her book tours.
Yes.
So if you are in, I believe it's mostly going to be in the UK.
Yes.
So if you are in the UK, go support Lindsay. She loves when wrestling fans come up to her because she's so used to it being like her romantic comedy audience but she'll sit there and mark out with you, and she loves when wrestle fans go out to her. So go say hi to Lindsay.
That's right. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights, at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all the Maximum Fun members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution keeping the lights on while we are here recording. Thank you. And hey, thank you. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.